Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What can you achieve if you just don't quit? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Show, the smartest way to start your day. Now, we have an amazing show. I'll be speaking with an NFL Super Bowl champion who's now a winning entrepreneur. He shares a great line of advice that he got from his mom that really applies in the social media age. He tells a hilarious story about what his six-year-old kid asked him that drove him out of retirement and back to get an MBA. And you might be surprised when he says managers shouldn't treat people equally. But first, a friendly reminder that you can get more of LeadX by following LeadX Life on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, and Twitter. And ask me your toughest questions at leadx.org/askkevin. Today's 1 minute career tip is manage up. The relationship you have with your supervisor, your boss, is the most significant factor impacting your overall job satisfaction. Unfortunately, you can't just assume that your manager has the time or the training to be a great leader. Here's some things you can do to proactively manage your relationship. First, make sure you know your manager's goals for the year, for the quarter, or even for the month. Second, make sure you're spending most of your time on activities that align with these goals. Third, try to proactively anticipate what else can you be doing to help achieve these goals. Don't just wait to be told what to do. Be creative, be innovative. New ideas are worth a lot. Finally, align your needs with your manager's goals. Whether you're trying to get more budget for another headcount or you just want a day out of the office to attend a training seminar, frame your ask around how it will help your supervisor to achieve her goals. Our guest today personifies tenacity and persistence. Despite his passion and talent for football in high school, no Division I colleges recruited him. But he went to Rutgers, and as a walk-on, he earned a spot on the team, and he became the team captain and won MVP in both his junior and senior years. But once again, his potential was overlooked when he went undrafted by the NFL, because scouts didn't think he was big enough to play at the highest level. And once again, he showed up anyway. He went to Indianapolis, and as an undrafted free agent, he won a job on the Colts as a middle linebacker. And in 2006, just his second year as a starter, he was chosen as defensive team captain, and he led the team to the Super Bowl where they beat the Chicago Bears. After playing 9 seasons with the Colts, he retired from football, went back to school to get an MBA, and he's now a successful entrepreneur. He's the owner of the Stacked Pickle restaurant franchise with 9 locations. He's also a best-selling author of the book, Winning from Walk-On to Captain in Football and Life. Our guest is Gary Brackett. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Hey, when I read the book, Gary, I found out we've got some stuff in common, although it has nothing to do with football. So we're both entrepreneurs. We're both first in our families to get a college degree, and we both went to Rutgers.
Awesome, man. Go RU.
Now, I won't make you do the RU rah-rah song or anything like that.
Hoorah, hoorah.
You still got it.
That's it, man.
Now, of course, I was a little bit before your time. I graduated in 89, and the big controversy on campus was huge increases to our tuition because they were raising money to pay for that fancy weight room and, you know, arena for you to play in when I was long gone. So I think, you know, I fronted you like a couple grand for all that equipment and everything, even though you didn't know it.
I appreciate that.
I think it's going to get me a free Ring of Fire burger next time I'm in Indianapolis. I don't know.
That's it, man. That's one of our best sellers for sure.
All right. So, Gary, I always start by asking our guests the same first question. And I want to know, tell us about a time when you actually failed at something, you know, maybe early on. And what did you learn from it? Because, of course, you know, we want to learn from your failure story, too.
Man, how much time do you have? I mean, it's a pretty recent failure. I mean, one of my first restaurant concepts that I invested in outside of the Stack Pickle was a concept named Georgia Reese. And Georgia Reese is actually my youngest daughter. She has a beautiful name. And it was a Southern cuisine restaurant with live music. And it was open here in Indianapolis about 3 years ago. And when I was going through the process, obviously it was something that I was very passionate about, Southern cuisine, live music. However, we just didn't present the brand in a good enough way for our consumers. And we were very inconsistent, you know, and we was receptive in our sales. So at that point, we had to make a tough decision to get rid of that brand and close it down. And obviously there's financial ramifications with doing that. But one thing I learned from Coach Dungy was this concept of addition by subtraction. And so many times in life, you know, we want to hold on to everything. Whereas if we subtract, if we start taking stuff out of our lives, we can actually really narrow the focus on things that really matter and really have the opportunity to grow. And that's what I've done. And that's why we're in a position now to franchise Stack Pickle.
Wow, what a great story. And Gary, I appreciate you, you know, being so candid with something recent like that. And LeadX listeners, you know, you'll hear me say all the time that in addition to a to-do list, we need a stop doing list, because, you know, as Gary just says, he said narrow the focus. We can be more effective, you know, when we narrow the focus. So that's an incredible story. And Gary, I loved your book. It's called Winning. And there was an interesting story, though, that I want to get your opinion on something. So you said when you were in the seventh grade, you know, you already, a teacher asked what you wanted to be, you know, when you grew up, and you said, you know, football player, I want to play in the NFL. And she said something like, well, what else do you want to be, right? Didn't exactly encourage your dream. And when I read that, I had two feelings about it. You know, one, I'm all about, like, pursue your dreams. And I tell my kids and any kid, like, go, whatever they want to be, yep, you can be it. That's who I am. And at the same time, it feels like young people, I mean, my own son included, who's 13, you ask people what they want to be, and it's a professional athlete, a rapper, or a video game player.
Right.
And, you know, the odds of those things happening are very low. And I feel like, you know, should we be telling them, hey, what about, you know, being a scientist or a computer engineer or, you know, one of these other things? So, you know, now as, you know, you were successful, but you also now are a parent. Like, what do you think about this with so many young people wanting to be pro athletes?
So for me, it's funny. I have 19 nieces and nephews, right, in New Jersey. So, I mean, everyone wants to be a pro athlete, right? They want to be like their Uncle Gary. And honestly, I don't discourage. I know what their percentage is. My belief is this. Even if they fall, right, even if they're not successful being a professional athlete, if they put the work in that's required to be a professional athlete, right, they're going to fall back. It's going to be much greater than if they don't have a dream, if they don't have an ambition, and they don't want to do anything. So my goal is like, okay, you want to be a professional athlete? This is what it's going to take. It's going to take discipline, it's going to take sacrifice, and it's going to take a bunch of hard work. Well, guess what? If you want to be successful in anything, it's going to take discipline, it's going to take sacrifice, and it's going to take a bunch of hard work. So I feel like developing those healthy habits will make someone achieve, you know, another goal of success, even if their first desire doesn't come to fruition. Just by putting in that work, they're already going to be much farther along than if they didn't have a gene and if they weren't chasing anything.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, sure keeps a lot of people out of trouble when they're in the weight room or the practice field instead of, you know, hanging out and doing other stuff. So when I think about your career, again, I mean, it really is all about this no quit mindset. And you talk a lot about it in your book, about all the things, all the people that told you, you know, you're not big enough or you're not fast enough or almost, but not quite. And you just kept going for it anyway. When most people would hear that first no and be like, oh, bummer, I guess it's the end of the road. But what you don't answer is why? Like, what drove you? What was inside of you that said, like, all right, I don't care that I'm not getting drafted. I'm going anyway. I don't care if the scouts are telling me this. I'm going anyway. What's your why?
I think my mom was so strong, and she would always tell me, what other people think of you is none of your business.
That's a great line.
Right? And it's this whole idea of don't let others' perception of you become your reality. And despite what the world said and what everyone else said and discouraged me about, I just had this internal fire that, you know, I can achieve this. I can do this. And this is what it involves. So I'm going to do everything it takes that I can achieve that. And I think the problem with most people in today's society is that they're afraid to fail because now failure is not private. Failure is very public, right? It's going to be on social media. It's going to be on headlines. It's going to be on something. Someone's going to find out that you failed. But guess what? Everyone who succeeded and all the ultra successful people, they fail time and time again, and they don't let that discourage them. So failure is a part of the process of success that few people want to obtain in order to go through to get to success, but it's required. It's the process. You got to go through the process. You got to go through the journey in order if you want to be successful.
And this is another form of the why question. You know, fast forward to, you know, more recent years, you had an incredible career in the NFL, beautiful wife, two kids. You easily could have just said, all right, I'm putting my savings in very safe investments and I'll just live off that 5% a year and relax. But instead, you go back and get your MBA. You start the one company, doesn't work out for you, and you buy out the owners. You're now, you know, owning Stack Pickle. Like, what's your why now when clearly, like, you deserve to be relaxing?
Yeah. I don't think Bill Gates is relaxing. Warren Buffett for sure is not relaxing. You know, Jeff Bezos, who just took over, you know, top wealthiest person in the world, he doesn't relax, right? And I think for me, it happened when I retired. And I was golfing, and I'm a horrible golfer. If I break 100, it is a great day on a golf course. So I'm golfing. My wife, who's a doctor, she just graduated this year.
That's great.
And she's in medical school, and she's doing residency at the time, and she's putting in 70, 80, 90 hours a week of work. And here comes dad home with a golf bag, two or three beers in me, right? So my son, who's now about to turn 6, was 3, 3 and a half at the time. So he looked at me and was like, dad, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was just like, you don't see this house? Like, you don't see these Super Bowl ring? Like, what do you mean? What I want to do when I grow up? But it was a serious question because he didn't know me as a football player, as a Super Bowl champion, right? He knew me as dad, the guy who goes and golfs with his buddies and come home, you know, slightly intoxicated. So I was like, at that moment, I was just like, man, for my kids, I got to show them hunger, desire, right? That life is more than going golfing with your buddies. So at that time, I was like, man, I need to sharpen the saw. So that's why I enrolled in the MBA and got my MBA because I feel like we all have toolboxes, and sometimes the tools get pretty dull in our toolbox. So I feel like going to get my MBA was an opportunity for me to sharpen all the tools that I had in my toolbox that I was going to use for the rest of my life.
Gary, that's a funny and amazing story, and it does remind me, you know, I had sold my last kind of bigger business about 10 years ago, and I took a few years off to raise my kids. I got three kids. And I was talking to an entrepreneur friend who sold his business and kept at it. And he had a similar answer. He just says, Kevin, you know, that saw gets rusty real fast. And we don't want that to happen. And that really moved me and is part of my why for keeping at it again, too. So on to Stack Pickle. You got 9 locations. Is that right?
Yeah, 9. We just signed a lease on our 10th location. So we're going through the process now of the building. So hopefully that will be open in November. We actually just started franchising about 2 months ago, almost 3 months ago. And we have 3 or 4 people that are very close to signing on to be franchisees, taking Stack Pickle outside of Indiana. So very excited. And we also field calls, you know, every week about a different opportunity. So I'm extremely excited about where we're all, where we're positioned as a value-driven brand. And I really feel like something that's going to be welcoming to a lot of suburban neighborhoods and a lot of different areas around the U.S.
That's great. And for those of us who haven't been to one yet, I mean, it's obviously, well, everything's competitive market. Mm-hmm. Tell us, you know, what makes the Stack Pickle unique? Why do people love it so much?
I think we pride ourselves on legendary service. We pride ourselves in knowing our consumer when they come into our doors. I think our food is very good. A lot of our food is made fresh and prepped in the background. There's daily specials in there. So I believe the value proposition from a consumer standpoint is amazing. I mean, you can go in there with a family of 4 and feed them for under $30, where you go to most restaurants, it's $50, $60. So for that reason, we get people coming to us 2 and 3 times a week. We have healthy options on our menu, which is definitely a trend now and it's not going away. So we have over 10 salads. We have rice bowls. We have other things that can get grilled on our menu. So it's really just a really approachable menu. It's really something that does work very well for us in this market.
You know, I'm not even just saying this like that. I wish there was one around here. So I'm a single dad. I got three kids, and I got one daughter who's a vegetarian, one who's an ultimate vegan, and then my son who's a total, you know, meat eater. And I'm, you know, like 95% of the time I eat clean, and the other 5% it's like a Super Bowl party. So I'm all over the place, and it is hard. You know, one restaurant that a couple of the kids would like, you know, the others don't. You know, it's great that you've got all those options. Now, with your, you know, business hat on, you have to have had some great lessons. Like, first of all, I assume that in any location, and congratulations on now going into to 10 double digits here, I'm assuming your restaurant manager is key. Whoever's the local leader at that location is key, right?
It's two things. Your location and your manager are the most important things in having a successful restaurant.
So what advice would you give, you know, to a new manager, not necessarily of a restaurant, but someone who's got to lead people for the first time and be accountable for operations? What kind of advice would you give that person?
For me, I would just say, know your personnel and know yourself, right? A lot of people, you know, they go into situations and they don't seek first to understand their personnel on what makes things tick, right? And everyone, sometimes people go and you know, and the only tool in their toolbox is a hammer. So they just leave with a hammer. Well, my management style is that you don't treat everyone equal. You treat everyone fair. And the people that are inside your four walls that's been on time for the last 3 years, that's for 1 week when she's dealing with her car problem, she's been late, versus the guy who's been on for 3 months and he's been late every week since the day he started, they're not the same individual. So understanding both of those scenarios, and I treat them very differently inside our restaurant, is what really buys loyalty and buy-in from our staff.
Now, you don't even know, you just hit a hot button for me. So I'm working on my next leadership book, and I actually have one chapter called Great Leaders Have No Rules, which is a little bit extreme. And then I talk about great leaders don't treat people equally. And, you know, one of the things that I feel is that, you know, rules kind of box people in, you know, whether you're a manager or a coach or someone. Like I said, if you break a rule, you got to be held accountable. But if you have standards, if you have values, it gives you a little bit more flexibility. But what I found in my research, I'm curious your thoughts, is if you look at in sports and athletics, there's coaches like, you know, legendary basketball coach John Wooden, who had lots of rules, or Coughlin and, you know, our old neck of the woods, you know, the Giants, like crazy rules, 5 minutes early and all this. But then you've got other coaches, really winning coaches, that are saying, you know what, it's like you want the standards to come from the players. It's about the team captains kind of keeping control. A coach should be a last resort. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? What did you see working for so many different coaches?
I think for me, the coaches that I work for, I think the common sense principle prevailed. And so many times, like you said, people stick to rules that make no sense, right? When I speak to my managers, I'm always challenging them on why we do things a certain way. And the correct answer is not because we always done it this way, right? Because if we always did it this way, we have never been successful at it. So why do we continue to do that? Why don't we look at different alternatives? So I think the people that coach me, Coach Dungy, Coach Caldwell, I mean, Coach Caldwell would always say, I'm stubborn about my goals and flexible about my methods. And for me, you know, you talked about those standards and those mission statement. That's something that we're passionate about. And that's something that I'm stubborn about. But how we get there, you know, in order for us to continue to grow, you know, 10 stores, 500 employees, I can't micromanage, you know, every person, every situation. I could tell them what our goals are, and I could tell you what our values are. And then it's up to them to be a manager and have some flexibility to make some decisions that they feel like was going to be best inside their restaurant.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, I got one more for you before we wrap up. I always challenge our listeners to try to become like 1% better every single day. Just get a little bit better. So I'm hoping you'll give us a challenge. Like, what's one thing you want us to do wherever we're at, whether we're at work or maybe it's something at home? You know, what's one specific thing we can do today to get to be a little bit better?
My big thing is be intentional about your success. All right. I tell people hope is not a strategy. All right. If you're going to be successful, have a plan and work your plan. Right. So the night before Sunday night, in my opinion, is the most important day of the week, because that's when you get to map out your week. what means you have, what background information you should do, what clothes you're going to wear, all that stuff you can handle on Sunday night. Then throughout the week, you can have a successful week because you set yourself up for success. There's so many people that, you know, look at their calendar like, hey, what's tomorrow? Oh, I forgot all about that. I got to read this paper. Well, if they set themselves up for success, they won't run into that situation. So that's one thing that's big for me. When we have meetings, I want you prepared. I want you to read anything that you need to read before we enter to that meeting. And I just don't want to meet just for the sake of meeting. I want to be able to make decisions. I want people that are educated, that did their back work. So then when we go to a meeting, it's time to make a decision and not plan on meeting again to discuss the same thing because we have folks that weren't prepared.
Incredible advice. Hope is not a strategy. I like that. So, Gary, how can our listeners find out more about you, more about Stack Pickle, even the franchise opportunities?
Yeah, that's awesome. So we have a website, stackpickle.com. On there, there's a link, buildthepickle.com, for franchise information. And for me, you can look at my website, garybrackett.net. We're in the process of finishing. I also do motivational speaking. I have a book that's also about to come out, a second book. So I'm just continuing to work hard, and that's on garybrackett.net. And follow me definitely on social media, Instagram, Twitter. I'm always posting something motivational, something thought-provoking, just challenging everyone every day.
And we'll put up links to all those places in the articles and the show notes. Gary, big thanks for coming on to the LeadX show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kevin.
LeadX family, don't forget, you can get links and notes from this interview over at leadx.org. And you can also download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership, at leadx.org/Branson. And if you want to get more LeadX in your everyday life, just follow us at LeadX Life on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. That's one word, LeadX Life. And if you've ever gotten even just one good idea from a LeadX show, do me a huge favor. It takes less than a minute. And just subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave a quick rating. Just go to leadx.org/subscribe. Until next time, friends, remember, leadership is about influence, which means we are all leaders. Whether you're a salesperson or a soldier, an entrepreneur or an executive, a coach or a counselor, you are leading all of the time. You positively influence with your behavior, and you influence negatively when you're a bystander. How will you lead today?